We take things to a different level of crazy.
We specialize in that.
We specialize in the crazy. We review our ICP. We have a committee and we meet twice a month on the ICP.
People are probably sitting there going like, you crazy.
Whether it's twice a month or once a quarter or once a year, either way, make sure you're reviewing it and keeping it fresh. Measure progress, penetration, reach, engagement of your ICP. This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead. Has it been another quarter?
We've done another 12 episodes, so it is, I guess, would be our time for our second QBR.
It's been fun, I will say.
It has been. I mean, we're like in double digits with episodes over 20. It's amazing how long this is turning into. It's turned into a thing, really, I think.
And are people listening, or is it just the two of us and our parents?
Well, here's the funny thing. People listen more to when it's just the two of us. So we've managed to fool the entire audience to think that we know what we're talking about more than the guests, which I think is a remarkable achievement.
Here's the thing. I think the topics that you and I take on together are topics that we care about, which translate to we know our audience cares about, right? The attribution episode, the QBR that we did 12 episodes ago.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, this would be QBR time, but one thing that's come up in almost every episode is another, just as if not more powerful acronym, which is ICP, which is insane clown posse for anyone. No, actually, I shouldn't. I'm aging myself because I think that band started in like the early 90s. But anyway, ideal customer profile. And we hear it episode after episode after episode. So why don't we dig in and let's do the definitive ICP episode.
Let's do it.
So to get started, I used to have this confusion myself. So I'm going to ask it to you. Sometimes you hear ICP, sometimes you hear TAM, and there's differences there. They're subtle, they're not so subtle. So I'm going to throw a question to you, Simon. Tell me, what is the difference between TAM and ICP?
Lots of acronyms today. Okay, so you're right. People use those two terms interchangeably, and I think there's a difference. Here's what I would say. TAM is who you could be selling to, and ICP is who you should be selling to. And that's probably the simplest way I can differentiate the two. You could be selling to companies of all companies within a certain revenue range in a certain size, in a certain industry, NAICS codes, SIC codes, right? And that can be the TAM that you use, and it's often very broad. But should you be selling to all those companies? And I think a further refinement of what does a good customer look like for you? And by the way, we started talking about ICP without saying what it is, and it is not insane clown posse. It is
fine.
Ideal customer profile. And so what is that ideal customer profile? You could be selling to companies in a certain revenue range and industry, but what's happening 12 months down the road, 18 months down the road? Are they churning? Maybe they're not so ideal. Is adoption good or bad? Maybe not. And so you've got to layer on additional things and additional analytics around retention, adoption, technographics, I think are critical, right? We'll use our own example.
Sure.
Sixth Sense sells to a lot of types of companies. A whole bunch of companies are interested in ABM. They're interested in AI and what Sixth Sense brings to that conversation. But we do really well with companies that have CRM installed, that have marketing automation in place. And so those are two components to our ICP definition. And so that's not to say we will only sell to those companies. Our ideal customer does tend to have that. And so I would say the difference is who you could be selling to and who you should be selling to.
Yeah, it just comes down to one of my favorite sayings is just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That applies to many things in life, by the way.
It does. We could do a whole episode on that. But we talk about the Sixth Sense example, right? There's so many different paths we go down in terms of understanding, like you said, the technographics and the firmograph, all the graphics. But I think probably the biggest thing for me, and you can go back to sales and marketing alignment, right? So many companies that have challenges around sales and marketing alignment is when you start to think about the ICP, that has to be a collaborative exercise. And you talk about that with ICP, you could also talk about it just for like strategic accounts and target account lists and so forth, where you might be in an organization where the account list is sales was driving home and saw a billboard and like, oh, we should sell to them. and they're like, oh, here's our list. Or it's very much a gut feeling and it's just thrown out there. But using the building of your ideal customer profile as an alignment tool, you want everyone on the same page. Say, look, this is our world. We are going to spend a lot of time working these accounts. Be meticulous, start there, and demand that everyone in the room really work together on defining that.
Obviously, marketing and sales. Who else should be in the room?
Finance, CS.
Okay. Product.
Product. I mean, absolutely product, right? Because again, getting back to some of those other things you were talking about, like what technologies they're using, it could drive integrations, it can drive all sorts of different things. Like everyone's got a seat at the ICP table, I think, needs to have an ICP seat at the ICP. That's a hard thing to say. Seat at the ICP table. I'm going to work on that one.
I also think strategy, by the way, if there is a strategy team. The challenge becomes, though, if everybody owns it and everybody has a say, then who's really owning it? I 100% agree. Everyone needs to be involved and sign off and agree that this is the ICP, but who at the end of the day owns it?
I think you need to take marketing to be the one to sort of be the steward of the ICP. Essentially, we talk about being a steward of the pipeline, but sort of taking the charge of owning it, but leading the cross-functional groups, bringing them together, getting their buy-in. Because like you said, if everyone owns it, no one owns it. But marketing is in a really good spot. And especially if you have a data team or an analytics team, either within marketing or somewhere else in the organization, they can work incredibly close together to do all the legwork, to do the research, and then bring it back to the group. And then be also the ones that are doing the maintenance, so to speak. We could talk about that as well. It's like ICP is not static. It can't be, right? The market changes, your product changes, your users change, so many different things. So marketing owns it, but everyone's got to have their contribution.
Okay, so I'm saying it. ICP is not a list of accounts that your sales team will give you at the beginning of a year.
It should not be, no. Because again, no knocking on sales. You really need to, like, what's the version of data they're using? What's the version of truth to define that? And then it's changing the dynamic a little bit. It's like, here, these are our accounts. We're going after them versus everyone working together and saying, okay, we've come to an agreement on this. You have skin in the game. Because then you could also get into a situation like, no, sales just gave me those crazy accounts that we go after. I don't know, right?
There's not ownership.
Yeah. And again, it comes back to alignment. Because again, it's one of those things where you got to collaborate on it. And it can't just be this sort of one-way street of like, here's some accounts, let's all go and do our thing.
Yeah. And I will say, I love what you mentioned about the analytics team or the ops teams, because data can often be the equalizer here. When there's different viewpoints, when there's different ideas or strong opinions of who we could and should be selling to, sometimes data can be that common language that everyone can agree on, right? We all know, especially in B2B SaaS, retention is key, expansion is key. And so you don't want to sell churn at the end of the day. And so bringing that closed loop back, taking some of those data points, understanding emerging trends, by the way, it's not just about who we've sold to and had success with in the past. It's also where we want to go in the future. I think data can be a great equalizer and a great tiebreaker if there is any difference of opinion.
And we're serious. Like, we got to lighten up. But some of the things that can be taken into account in ICP, like I've had a past experiences where it's been less about technology and more like, is there a certain department? Is there a certain role? That can get tricky. So I guess my question back to you, being the data, I don't even know the word to use to describe your data.
Czar.
The data, data czar, although that's rules of the data fist. If you've got an ICP where characteristics are less about technology and firmographics and more like really understanding teams and structures, and how do you do that? How would you say, like, either how do I find that data? How do I create something based on that? Or can you achieve that?
I would say people get hung up on the data part because they all feel like they have the worst data in the world or the data is incomplete. And so I'm just going to say it. Everyone's data is bad. Everyone's data is incomplete. So if we're hoping for this and waiting for this promised land to make decisions, it's never going to happen. You have to love the one you're with and you've got to work with the data that you have. So we at Sixth Sense and in previous companies that I've worked with, we've looked at winning patterns, the types of companies that we have success with, both from an initial land, but from an eventual expansion and retention. And then the people within that group. And there's multiple ways to do that, right? There's obviously, you know, you start with who's on an opportunity record, who is an opportunity role that you see come up again and again. But if that data isn't incomplete, you augment it with What do you know in terms of research? Who is the CS org interfacing with at the time of renewal? Who is the end user? Who is the executive that was in charge? Procurement, not typically, you know, somebody we sell to, but we've got to make sure that they are involved in the buying process, right? So again, look at all the different players in that buying journey and also quantify that. We talked, I think our very first episode, Adam, many, many moons ago was about B2B inflation. Even that buying group and the amount of effort it takes to win and land a deal is changing and it's getting harder and harder. And so again, back to your point of not having a static ICP, but keeping it dynamic, you doing the research to understand how has it changed. So data is never going to be complete. Data is never going to be perfect, but use a combination of the data that you have, additional external research, interviews, there's win-loss things that, you know, I'm sure every company is doing. Like, use all of that intelligence to then inform beyond just which accounts you should be selling to, but then where potential green space lives or white space. People use those terms differently too, but where else you could be fishing and then who you need to be engaging along that journey. But just to close out the static versus dynamic, I will say our ICP is dynamic at Sixth Sense. It is a mix of firmographic information, like, again, selling to certain companies of certain revenue ranges, size, geographic locations. It includes technographics of what type of technology do they have installed or are they interested in. It includes things like not just where we've had success in the past, but places we want to go in the future, both from a geo perspective as well as from an industry perspective. So we've uploaded SIC codes and NAICS codes into our ICP definition.
AI predictions, yeah.
Yep, AI predictions of, again, who is in market. And all of those things are very dynamic and they change. And so we will have that list, which, by the way, exists as a list within the Sixth Sense platform, but is also in CRM. And now we're getting really tactical, but I feel like this is what people like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do have the ICP loaded into CRM. Each account that is in the ICP is flagged with a checkbox, so we know it is in the ICP. We do have tiering within the ICP. And we're, again, so serious, but I'm like,
I know, this is important. Like, we're like, ICP.
Yeah.
Tiering within it, you have an ICP for your commercial accounts, your enterprise accounts, your strategic accounts. And sometimes it's really important to look at trends and changes within those. And then even we do have a VIP list of like our tier ones that are our top 50 accounts that we want to break into. So the concept and the theory is there, but then you do go down to, how do you actually make it real? And so all of this exists in systems of records, one source of truth, whether you're in sales or marketing, you build a report on the ICP, you will get the same number. And then finally, I will say, we take things to a different level of crazy.
We specialize in that.
We specialize in the crazy. We review our ICP. We have a committee and we meet twice a month on the ICP.
People are probably sitting there going like, you crazy. But I think it's important to...
Insane clown posse.
For anyone who's out there who's not probably over 35, 40, they think that we're just insane, don't have an idea. Go Google insane clown posse and you'll know what we're talking about. Anyway, I think, you know, we talk about tactical, but we want to give those actionable insights. So if we pull back and say, okay, I am getting started in either I've joined a new company or I'm just like, you know what? We are just shooting all over the place. Bullets are banging off the wall in terms of who we're going after. Let's talk about like where you start and how you get to be actionable. So bring together that group. We're going to start to say, look, we need to build our ICP. What's the first step? It's just get everyone on board with the concept that we need to do this. Because again, some people be like, oh, we just, you know, I worked at a startup once. Everyone should buy our product.
We sell to everyone.
He's like, oh, okay, that's great. No, because then you're walking around with your eyes closed.
Well, also, do you have unlimited budget to go sell to everyone? Do you have unlimited headcount to go capitalize on it? Like, nobody does. You can't sell to everyone, I guess. And that's the difference between who could you sell to and who should you be selling to.
Now, that opens up certainly, like, if you have lower cost, self-serve product that has a massive TAM and your ICP can be large. But again, like, your go-to-market motion is going to inform this as well in terms of, like, how you're going to market and then ultimately how your sales process works. All of those different things. Like if you're selling into these accounts, the right accounts, you're going to see it. These deals are going to come. They're going to close faster. You're going to have higher conversion rates.
Focus. Again, better focus and alignment of your revenue teams against the most winnable accounts for the company. That is it.
When you start thinking about just marketing, particularly, I am going to start to run XYZ campaign or program. You start with the ICP at the top and then you break it down. So you might say, you know what? I'm going to run a particular campaign to this persona and these types of companies. But it's like the waterfall. Start with your core ICP and then you break it down further. Everything always is referencing back to that ICP, because the other beauty of that is you could at any given point understand, how am I doing on penetrating my ICP? I define an ICP, say it's 50,000 accounts. I was able to hit 10% of those accounts this quarter, whatever the number may be. It creates a huge reporting advantage as well to say, like, here's our world. How much are we chewing on it? And then even further, we talk about unlimited budget, which we don't have. But then you have the data to go and say, look, we've defined our ICP. We're only hitting this percentage. When we hit them, we're doing really well. But we need more to get to more of our ICP. And now it's a data-driven conversation too about dollars and cents.
There you go. So, okay, bringing it back. We talked about who to include in your ICP and how to define it and how to get a single source of truth. We talked about keeping it fresh. We have our biweekly meeting. People might want to know what we talk about in the biweekly meeting, but it's different every time. But it is things like exactly what you said. What is working? What tactics are working in driving engagement with that ICP? And as important as it is, by the way, to know who to include, it's also important to know who to exclude. We exclude competitors from our ICP. I don't want to waste a dollar of my marketing budget advertising to or marketing to competitors. Or in certain cases, you know, existing customers can be excluded from campaigns. And so that becomes part of the ICP. In certain cases, there's a blacklist of accounts that you really don't want to be selling to. So, you know, who shouldn't be in there? And then the other point that I would say is really important to keep it fresh and dynamic, and what we talk a lot about in our biweekly meeting, is what proportion of pipeline and bookings is coming from the ICP? And if you're doing it really well, it will be a very high proportion. But it might point to blind spots in your ICP. If you're all of a sudden generating demand in a geo, in a region, in an industry that isn't part of your ICP, well, maybe you should be updating your ICP definition to include that. So that's why you do need those regular check-ins. I do think maybe twice a month is not necessary, but at least once a quarter, you know, look at the data, look at what it's telling you. Where else is bookings and pipeline coming from? Where is churn coming from? Let's use that, again, closed loop and refine.
Looking at inbound is sort of an interesting world too, right? Because again, having your system set up in a way where you can see, even when someone comes in, the form fill, whatever, maybe, hey, request a demo, I'm interested in your product, if they're in ICP or not as well. Because if you have your inbound engine sort of revving and going, you can get a sense of like, okay, you've defined your ICP, you know the accounts that you're going after, but what is bringing these accounts in? Is there something either in your messaging and your marketing and say, okay, like a bunch of our inbound is not ICP. It's not even remotely an ICP. So that one opens up the opportunity to say, okay, did we miss something? Or is our message just off and we're doing one thing, but saying another? And then again, that starts, we talk about who to include. That's data to start to take back to your product marketing team and the folks that are doing the content creation to understand, like, are we creating content that's appealing to the right folks and the right companies within ICP as well? And then you sort of expanded that circle. Not necessarily going to say like, hey, content or product marketing needs to be at every ICP meeting, but the results and the data and the readout is absolutely relevant to them as they're continuing to do their work.
I love it. And so you kind of hit on this, right? Who's consuming content? What is resonating with the ICP? Which we're kind of moving into measurement now a little
bit.
Look
at that smile, the smile that, see, here it comes.
No, but we talk a lot about running a data-driven org. So from a measurement perspective, at the very tippy top of the funnel, we are looking at web traffic, and every marketer on the call is probably looking at their web traffic and engagement and bounce rates and pages per session and scroll rates and all of that. We take it a step further and we look at the proportion of the web traffic that is coming from our ICP. And we do this obviously using Sixth Sense because we have industry-leading web de-anonymization in our technology. And so we track and trend out proportion of ICP web traffic, and is it going up or down? And it's good to see when it's going up. But beyond that, then we look to see what is the engagement of that ICP. And because, again, these are the companies that you've identified as great prospects for you, they do have higher pages per session, higher engagement, lower bounce rates. And that's, again, another good reinforcement of the fact that this is the right ICP. And then finally, you should be taking that a step further and saying which pieces of content, which pages, which keywords are resonating with them. And so this very top of funnel analysis on the ICP is a great way to inform your content strategy and where to double down on in terms of topics, ideas, themes.
And the thing, you know, there's a lot of different ways to accomplish that. Again, we talk about our own platform. There's a lot of tools out there. You wouldn't want to use any of the other ones, but there are tools out there to help you with de-anonymization, understanding that. I would like to send a heartfelt thank you out to Google for GA4, making our lives just a little bit more complicated, but I love you anyway. So yeah, again, like understanding the digital footprint of your ICP is huge and it's massive. And I think getting back to, okay, so we're measuring web traffic. What else? We talked a little bit about penetration, right? So here's our universe. And say, okay, in this particular quarter, we were able to reach. And I guess, in your opinion, what, when we say we reach our ICP, how do you measure that? What are good indicators of reaching an ICP account?
Yeah, and it depends obviously on the tactics that you're using. There is a reach score in the Sixth Sense platform, just putting that out there. And we do use that. We look every quarter at our ICP and the proportion of that ICP that we reached. And that is a metric that we share with the board. But beyond that, I would say, you know, ads. Are they viewing them? What is the view through rate of your ads? If you are doing nurtures against the ICP, obviously, what is the engagement with that? Depending on the tactic, right? Are you reaching them effectively? Is sales actively reaching out to them? What are the drivers of reach? Is it digital that's working really well? Is it your own website or is it, you know, external ads that are working well? So I think you've got to understand the mix and the drivers of your reach. And then even more importantly, you can reach everyone in your ICP, but is what you're reaching them with driving engagement? So engagement of the ICP with those specific things. Again, your website, let's be honest, it's going to be anonymous web activity. Nobody's filling out a form. 3% of people on average are filling out a form. So that, again, that web de-anonymization of what is resonating with your ICP, what are they engaging with, what pages, what content, what keyword, what themes, which specific areas of the website, all of that becomes really important. And for us, that drives a lot of where we put our budget. The drivers that are driving engagements with the ICP is where we will be putting more money.
100%. And the thing that's incredibly useful as well, and any given period of time, any given quarter, you go in and look at your master ICP list and you're going to find, inevitably, there's going to be a tranche of accounts that got missed. Why weren't these touched this quarter? Again, if you're using buying predictions and stages and odds, certainly your outreach is based on if these accounts are further along or not. But still, there's this low-hanging fruit of like, look, we have ICP that we're not even touching. I don't know how many times you've heard sales say, I need more accounts to sell into. My territory is like, why don't you take a look here? Because these are all these accounts that you're not touching. So like, that's another really big piece of data that can be super helpful.
And what is the goal at the end of the day of the ICP? Of course, the goal is to generate pipeline and revenue from these accounts. But it's not maybe realistic to assume you're going to get pipeline and revenue from all of them, right? So we look at some of the leading indicators. And for us, a really good goal that we march towards is getting these ICP accounts to a meaningful level of intent so that they are essentially marketing qualified. There's enough activity, enough smoke, enough signal coming from them that we want to get them in front of sales. And so that's probably the most leading indicator in terms of like closest to revenue, where we will report on the proportion of ICP that became a marketing qualified account in a given quarter, in a given year. And I will say last year, 98% of our ICP did at some point in the year become a 6QA or an MQA. And that's a great stat for us. And then, of course, a smaller proportion of that becomes pipeline and eventually revenue. But if we have those goals for ourselves, you can see how we're starting with this list that, you know, at the beginning of the year was where we wanted to be. And by the end, we were able to drive reach, drive engagement, and get them to a point where it made sense to put sales in front of them.
Yeah. That stat always just blows my mind to hear that 98%. That's something. Okay, so now let's have a little bit of fun. ICP gone wrong. Or building an ICP, making some assumptions and just being wildly off. Have you ever seen that happen in your world?
Yes, I have. It has often been a symptom of a lack of alignment at the top, though. Sales wanted to sell into these 15 accounts because they felt really good about them. Again, it was a hunch. It was a hope. Hope is not a strategy. And so I have been in cases where the beginning of the year, there was all this planning. There were placeholder opportunities created for these accounts that we just know we're going to do really well with. And at the end of the year, they were still placeholder opportunities. So I have experienced it, not at a huge scale, but definitely.
I'll tell you a story. So I was working at a startup. And of course, everybody wants to go, if you're selling mid-market, where do you want to go? You want to go up market. And then if you're up market, sometimes you want to go down market because you're trying to get to maybe more or less accounts. We had this big plan. We're going to go these massive strategic accounts. Of course, they're going to want to buy our product. And we're going to double our ICV or ARR or pricing, whatever ASPs, whatever acronym we were using at the time, just talk about pricing. So we did. We went out and we started hunting. And we were selling into very large accounts. And we were selling big deals, $200,000, $300,000. It was beautiful. But guess what? Our product was not ready. So, you know, you could get through procurement. You could even get through the first year, but it became very quick. The teams became aware of like the product was not ready for these large accounts. It was suffering under load, the integrations that we were missing. And it was just, it really fell apart, actually. Honestly, that was a situation of, it was not a data-driven discussion. It was just like, oh yeah, we can go sell to really, really large accounts and we can go double, triple the same product that we sold somebody else for $50,000. Yeah, no problem. And we learned a valuable lesson and sort of went back and said, you know what? We defined 5 or 6 key product features that we needed. There was certainly additional scrutiny about security and some of the procurement process and the things that we would come up against, and made a ton of improvements, and we were able to make another kick at the can, and we did okay. But we had a lot of large customers that said goodbye because we went in and we weren't ready.
So I feel like you just answered our ridiculous question of tell the most ridiculous story about ICP. So let's bring it home. Okay. So if we had to summarize, because this is the definitive episode, right? We've just stamped it as such. We've declared it. Drive alignment at the top. Make sure the right people are in the room and make it a collaborative experience. Have a clear owner of the ICP at the end of the day. Keep it fresh, whether it's twice a month or once a quarter or once a year. Either way, make sure you're reviewing it and keeping it fresh. Measure progress, penetration, reach, engagement of your ICP.
Use that data, get it out to teams so they understand what's happening. We talked about content. We talked about product marketing. We talked about all those things. Make sure you're not measuring in a vacuum, but making sure you're making the data available to the org so everyone can see it and make decisions based on it.
Look at you talking about data. I love it.
I mean, I am not the czar, but I have been under your tutelage, so.
Well, I think that's it then.
I mean, we just got serious there. I think people are going to be like, what happened? They didn't even have their caffeine, or they're just.
I didn't, by the way, have caffeine, but yes. It's a serious topic. Listen, it will make or break your performance as a company. It's important to get it right. It's important to put the focus on it. And tools and technology can help.
Absolutely. Let's say thanks, everyone, for joining us for now the definitive episode. And not Insane Clown Posse. Although, go look them up because you might find an energy. Or you might be terrified. I really couldn't tell you either way. But thanks, Emma.
Thanks, Adam.
You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue. We might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.